Hey everyone, this is John Puritz. Welcome to the Man Up Already podcast. This show is dedicated to each of us being better in all areas of our lives, mentally, spiritually, physically, and relationally. We want to help you be a better you because when you man up already, the world around you is greatly impacted. Here on the podcast, we don't believe you're an accident. We believe each of us is created for purpose, and this show is dedicated to helping you discover and live out that purpose. Again, welcome to the show, and let's check out another great episode. All right. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Man Up Already podcast. As always, super, super pumped to have you here. And boy, it's just as the recording of this, we're approaching mid-February 2024. Hard to believe how fast things go. You know, we talk about that a lot, but it really is crazy. I think we just celebrated the beginning of the year, and here we are already approaching mid-February. And without further ado, I'm super pumped to bring our guest today. He is a winning baseball player, a successful businessman, a public speaker, and author of the book, I Chose Live. He's got an incredible story. I'm excited to have him on the podcast. Please welcome our guest today, Mike Coy. All right, Mike, good to have you here on the podcast. Thanks for being on here.
Thanks, John. It's a pleasure. And like I said before, it's an honor to speak to you, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're down in Texas.
Well, I was in Austin for over 30 years. I'm a Beaumont, Texas boy from the right side of the state, right there on the Louisiana border. I left Beaumont, went to San Diego for 2 years, where I was part of the Padres organization. I was the head of the hitting the San Diego School of Baseball. And after Miss Kroc sold the team and they eliminated some positions, there's no way I was going to move back to the Houston Beaumont area after living in San Diego.
Yeah, I've been there a couple of times. I get it.
Yeah. And so I moved to Austin and I got remarried. And my wife is, she's got early onset of MS. And the heat in Austin in 2018, it was just unbearable. And those records that were set in 2018 were actually broken last year. But we moved to Colorado Springs 4 years ago. And boy, we just love it.
I've been there many times. Garden of the Gods is magnificent. Yep. I've stayed in the Broadmoor. Colorado Absolutely. Springs is awesome, awesome place. I'm a Florida guy now from New York and Connecticut, but when I need to do my getaway, I go to Colorado. So I I understand. So Mike, you have a really amazing journey that I want to talk about. But you know, first I guess a major part of it, you just mentioned a little bit, but baseball was a major part of your life for many years.
Yeah.
And you still play.
Yeah. It's what I like right now, because I just turned 70. So now I get to play 70 in this men's senior baseball, and I can be the youngest guy on the team instead of the oldest. So I'm really looking forward to that. My dad was a football, baseball coach, a high school coach, and a layman disciple of Christ minister, and just kind of went in that direction. My dad was a tremendous athlete. I mean, when he was 82 years old, he and I went to Houston to play in a century doubles handball tournament, and he was amazing, and then just allowed himself, well, what I talk about in my book, I Chose Live, is that he's a typical man. He didn't go get checked. And had prostate cancer that he finally, after about 4 years, went to the doctor. And by then it was stage four. Mm-hmm. And just took him from us. And so it's something that, you know, again, he was very instrumental in my life, helping me develop my skills. And, you know, I had a chance to play in that Texas Louisiana professional league. I made a whopping $15 a week, and which back then in the late 70s paid our gas to all of our our locations and playing fields that we had to go to in East Texas and Southwest Louisiana. But I won two batting titles in 78. I was the MVP, and the Mets offered me a contract. It was great. I walked off the field that day when we won the championship, and this old school scout grabbed me and he said, "I've been following you for 2 years. I want to buy you dinner." And back then in Beaumont, there was only two decent restaurants. That was Steak and Ale and Don's Seafood. We went to Steak and Ale, and all I had was my cleats. I was walking around in my silks and my socks. And he told me, he goes, "Look, I don't know where we're going to play you. You don't have the arm for catcher. Your feet suck around second base. I figure if we hit you about 1,000 fly balls a day in spring training, we can hide you in left field. But anybody that hits like you, we got to find a place for you." But the problem was, is that the contract back then with independent baseball, they didn't offer any kind of signing bonuses or anything. And it was $4.25 a month and $6 a day meal money. And I had a pregnant wife at home. I was making about $850, $900 a month doing baseball lessons and selling clothes at Ducote's clothing store part-time. And I just couldn't accept the contract. But the one thing I did do, 6 weeks later, I went into the insurance industry, the financial planning industry, so that I could have my own hours, so that I could make money and I could still play and coach. And that's when I got into the coaching aspect. And I've coached for over 40 years, either some form of baseball, select baseball. For 5 years, I coached the USA 16-year-old team that we went every Christmas down under to Australia. Wow. And we won 5 international championships. And, you know, I've just been very blessed to be able to surround myself with some tremendous young men, some tremendous athletes that they sure made me a good coach.
That's awesome. We have a similar story, and I'm a musician. So sports was never, you know, sports never came natural. Music did. And I went to college for music and came out and, you know, trying to make it in music. I ended up being a teacher for 10 years. But I wasn't, you know, I was teaching everybody else, but I wasn't making my own music. And then we came to Florida, but the similarity is I'm a financial advisor. That's my main gig. And it has allowed me to make music, you know, in a very, without worrying about a paycheck, you know what I mean? And I stress so often, you know, sometimes the thing that is your passion doesn't have to be the thing that feeds you. If anything, sometimes if it feeds you, you lose your passion.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, I actually play too. I've got my band. It's Mike.
Well, I see the guitar back there. So
yeah, Mike Coy Posse. com if anybody gets bored. But I just did a gig. I did a charity gig just a couple of Thursdays ago here, and I was starting to get quite a following in Austin. And then I brought it up here. Of course, COVID hit when we moved here, so it's just been slow going. But I just do it for fun. I do it to see if we can raise money for different causes. And you know, I just do that Red Dirt Texas Country. But yeah, it's just something that is on the back burner that every once in a while I get to go out and just make a complete fool out of myself. And I love it.
Well, you touched on something that I think is really awesome, right? So you're an author, a speaker, a coach, you're a ball player, you're a musician, you know, like I feel like there's this and it's why I do the podcast and the mission that we're on is there's many different expressions of who we are as people. And we don't have to be so, like, I find that the messaging today, especially with social media, is losing this old, I call it old school, right? You're in your 70s, I'm in my 50s, that, you know, we're chasing so many things and we're sacrificing. Either one, we're sacrificing pieces of ourselves that don't need to be sacrificed. But number two, we're chasing this idea that it happens overnight instead of you've lived a life. You've accumulated a ton of experience, and all of those things kind of meld and mesh into themselves so that we can play music, or we can play sports, or we can do a lot of these different things at the same time. If we kind of structure things properly and prioritize properly.
Yeah, I heard Tim Tebow, the ex pro uh-huh. quarterback and everything, came to Austin a few years ago, and he's such a spiritual man. And he said that what you want to do with your life, it's not about any day, it's about today. And it's something that really resonated with me, because yesterday is gone. As we know, tomorrow is not promised to anyone. I think about it, I've just been one of the songs that I sing in my set is "Don't Let the Old Man In" by Toby Keith, and losing Toby Keith to stomach cancer. And it breaks my heart, because I know he's a typical man. And he thought he had indigestion, and he let this go. And all of a sudden it grabbed him, just kind of like my cancer did me. And all of a sudden, in his case, you know, he left us way too soon. And I really focus when I give my talks, when I'm on stage and whatever, I really do talk about that. We've got to do everything that we can today, because that can set up tomorrow. It can put us in a position to either to pay it forward or make a difference. And for me, this was 1997. I was very close to my father, and he was in assisted living. He was 86, 87 years old. And my son played at Austin Westlake, which the home of Drew Brees, the home of Nick Foles, the quarterback for the Eagles that won a Super Bowl. My son was the 2000 Central Texas athlete, football, baseball at Austin Westlake. But when he was a sophomore, he got moved up to varsity. And at the time, I was the voice of the Westlake Chaparrales. I did radio on baseball, and then we did Time Warner Cable. We did Shap TV for football. And I went to get my dad, my son's first varsity start, and I went to get my dad, and he loved it. I mean, he just loved to watch my son play. And the nurses said that he wouldn't get dressed. And so I went in and I said, "Daddy," I said, "I got to go. I got to set up for the broadcast." And he just said, "Look," he said, I just don't feel it today. I'll make the next one." And I said, "Well, okay." I said, "But I got to go. I got to set up the broadcast." And as I was walking out the door, John, he said, "Son, make a difference." And that's the last three words that he said to me, because a couple hours later, my daughter drove up to the field. Her mother pointed up to the press box, and my daughter came up and said, I took a break on a commercial break, and said the nursing home called and Gramps is gone. And so I think my dad felt like with my coaching that he wanted me to make a difference with young men and such. But now, as I've gotten older, I've tried to, I really believe it's gone much deeper than that. And that's to reach out and tell my story about my battle with cancer and how I'm winning the war, and hopefully making a difference.
You know, it's I'm very present over the last couple of years, certainly last year, which I've talked about on the podcast, but I love, you know, what you said, and I just summed it up, and it's all about today, right? We tend to spend our present either focusing on the past or dreaming in the future instead of living for right now and being very, very present. So I really appreciate you sharing all of that. I want to dive into your cancer story, because I mean, that's obviously why you're here. It was 2013 that, if I read correctly, that journey started for you.
Yeah, I had I had gone through a devastating divorce, and Aflac, my company, called the director of sales and marketing, who I happened to grow up with in Beaumont, Texas. He was, I tell him, he's the only guy that remembers when we beat Spindletop for the city championship at Evening Optimus Little League. We beat Spindletop 21-2, and I hit two home runs in that game. And I said, and he's the only man still alive that remembers that happening. he called me and he said, look, I need a director of training. I need a director of recruiting in Georgia. And so I just packed up, left my kids, and I had a brand new grandson. And I just packed up and moved to Atlanta and was the director of training and recruiting for the state of Georgia. And, you know, I think there's a lot of factors that go along with that. But I was having this kind of this continuous sore throat. And the thing about it is, John, I've never been sick a day in my life. And I've got four knee surgeries and I blew my Achilles, but that's all sports related. But I was having this continuous sore throat. Finally, after about 5 or 6 months, I went to the doctor and she said, well, it's probably just a sinus infection, drainage. I'll give you some antibiotics and you'll be fine in a few weeks. The problem is I had a tumor the size of your fist at the base of my tongue. And so after about 5 or 6 weeks, I went back. I said, look, I still had this sore throat. It's not something that really hurt. It was just aggravating. And she said, oh, well, we need to up the antibiotics. Well, all the antibiotics did was destroy my immune system. And so July 4th weekend, 2013, I went into the bathroom and a lymph node had popped out like a golf ball from my neck. And I said, well, that's not good. So I took a picture of it. And I sent it to an ear, nose, and throat doctor in Austin that was one of my best friends. I coached his son. And he said, go see a specialist immediately. So I forced my way in to the primary on Monday. And, of course, she turned white as a sheet when she saw my neck. I saw got me a specialist the next day. I went in. They did 5 needle biopsies. I don't know if anybody out there has ever had a needle biopsy. It's a lot of fun. You ought to try it sometime. But and he said, look, it's probably nothing. Don't worry about it. Go on back home and everything will be great. Well, I had just left this position in Atlanta and taken my own district in Dalton, Georgia, but I moved just across the border to Tennessee because there's no state income tax in Tennessee. And so I was moving in, I was building my district. I mean, I really had things going. And so I went back to Chattanooga, and that afternoon I get a phone call from the nurse and says, the doctor wants to see you tomorrow at 2 p.m. So I go back 2.5 hour drive to Atlanta, walk in, sit there, and he walks in and he says the 3 words that you never want to hear, and that is, you have cancer. And he said, we're going to do a very rigorous chemo radiation treatment. You're going to be in the hospital for 7 days and 7 nights. You're off for 2 weeks, 7 days, 7 nights, and then you're going to have 12 outpatient conditions. And he said, and that'll be Sunday. And I said, what Sunday? He said, well, this Sunday. And I went, I can't do that this Sunday. I've got a brand new district. I'm moving into my condo. That doesn't work for me. What is plan B? He goes, you die.
Wow.
And I said, well, let's go back to plan A here. And the thing about the tumor, it wasn't so much a life or death situation at that time, but they didn't know if they could save my vocal cords or not remove my tongue. And for somebody that speaks for a living, as you know, that's kind of tough.
Right.
And so needless to say, Sunday, I checked into the hospital and I started going through my chemo And then radiation kicked in off of that. But if anybody that has gone through the chemo and the radiation, you have good days and you have days that just aren't so good. And I remember after about 3 weeks in, I was out on my balcony in Chattanooga, and just a beautiful summer day. Wind was blowing. I was looking at the Chattanooga River, and I felt something on my arm. And I looked down, and there was a clump of hair on my arm. And I looked, and I could see hair just blowing everywhere. And so I just took my hands and started going through my head, and all of my hair came off. And it was not a good sight. I mean, it was, I was scaring small children for a while, but, it was the realization, you know, that, hey, this is real. I mean, yeah. You know, you're in it now. And I remember going inside, sitting down in the, my chair and just kind of flipping through the stations, and I don't know, TNT or whatever. And there was a movie, gosh, it's hard to believe. I think it's 25, 30 years old now, called Shawshank Redemption.
Sure. And I love that movie. Great movie. Yeah. Great book. Great movie. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, it made a star out of Tim Robbins. And for people that don't know, he was falsely accused of killing his wife, and he went to Shawshank prison. And he was there about 6 weeks, and he was beaten and abused and raped. And I mean, everything that you can imagine. And there's a scene out in the yard where he had befriended a lifer that was played by Morgan Freeman, and Morgan Freeman's character Red. And Tim Robbins said, "This place is a living hell. How could you be here for 40 years?" He says, "I mean, there's no way I'm going to be able to be here for 40 years." And Morgan Freeman says, "Well, life has choices. You either get busy living or you get busy dying." And John, when he said that, it was like this epiphany just went off in my head. I mean, this light bulb, I turned off the TV. I went over to my desk, and that's when I wrote, "I chose live."
Wow. So talk about the book, right? So you wrote the book while you're in the middle of the journey?
Yes. Yeah. It was, it just got to me. I wanted people to know. One of the things that I was asked on more than one occasion, did I ever think about giving up? And I lost over 70 pounds. I refused to take a feeding tube because my oncologist said that my throat would atrophy. And that's not what I wanted. And I couldn't, I was taking chocolate milk and Ensure, but I wasn't doing the 3,500 calories a day. And I just got to a point where I would tell people there's no way I was going to give up. I had a 6-month-old grandson that didn't know me, and I had never walked my daughter down the aisle yet. And so there again, I think with some of the bad times and stuff that happened, you have to have a purpose.
Yeah.
And for me, it was to talk about the cancer. Two things that I bring out in the book is, number one, stress is a silent killer. And number two, men don't get checked. Our death rate is 58% higher than women because, well, we know women are smarter than us, but they also go to the doctor normally every year, get their physical, do everything. Men don't. And so the two main cancers with men is the colon cancer and prostate cancer. Now, there's no easy cancer, but if you catch those two early enough, then they are the simplest to cure. And so many people, so many men wait until, okay, I've got a problem. They go to the doctor, it's stage 4, and then we've got 3 to 6 months to live. And so when I give my talks and everything, I tell people that, and I especially talk to the what I call the women folk out there, is that you've got to get your man to the doctor. You have got to get your husband or brother or father or uncle or somebody to go get checked. And if we do that, I think it's going to make a difference, because my kids will tell you my life is clearly defined as AC and BC, after cancer and before cancer. And from the stress standpoint, I know now, you know, it's like I get cut off in traffic. 10 years ago, I would have chased the guy down and we'd have had some kind of road rage situation. And today, I really, it's more of me going, whoo, he must be in a hurry. You know, it's I go in the grocery store and I get behind the lady that has 100 products, and it finally goes through. Then she pulls her checkbook out to write the check. I laugh about it now. I guarantee you 10 years ago, I'd say something. And so if we can understand that it is about today, you know, that's one of the things that I've remarried, and my wife is she's so great. And she, but one time I was in Austin, I do these three different concerts. I do Mike Sings Elvis, and I'm not an impersonator. I just do the song. Mike sings the Beatles, and then Mike sings the hits. And one night I did the Mike Sings Elvis for raising money for the Dell Children's Center there in Austin. And she asked me, she says, why now? You know, why now? And I said, why not now? You know, I mean, I enjoy it. I love it. I love to entertain. I said, and if I can raise money for cancer research, it's the reason why a percentage of every dime that I collect off my books goes to the Aflac Children's Cancer Center in Atlanta. That's where I went to do research for the book. And, you know, it's something that I want to be able to give back, that in the past, I was so focused on raising the kids, on making a living and all these other factors, that sometimes you do need to stop and smell the coffee.
Not sometimes, right? A lot of, I mean, I actually think smelling the coffee, like you talk about, needs to be built into a weekly rhythm, or a weekly rhythm, a monthly rhythm, something, because you know what you're talking about with men especially is so true. I mean, look, I'm a product of what you're talking about in respect to, I share with you, I lost my father. I have no doubt that smoking and drinking from stress, he always smoked and he always drank, but the stress of my dad at 50 was thrown away by corporate America. They wouldn't, you know, he didn't get rehired when he moved to Dallas, Texas, and he went into business, and the business went, you know, caused him to go bankrupt because he was never a product of business. And I just think the stress of all of that, he got pancreatic cancer and it took him in a month and a half. But I'm, you know, at 49 years old, I had a full on midlife crisis. And I talk about that a lot as well, because I don't think it needs to take the house on fire or a cancer diagnosis or whatever it is for us to wake up and man up, if you will, with, right. Yeah. You know, there needs to be, and it's so funny that you talk about stress, because 2024, really, for me, the beginning of the year has been, because last year was just so rough, I'm removing anything that causes stress or anyone. Like, I'm just not, absolutely. I understand bandwidth, you know, what are we capable of, and having the energy to do it. And there's this programming, especially when we're in our 30s and our 40s, it's go, go, go. And I think that that's really pushed on society today. You look at things on social media, everybody thinks, you know, they should have what everybody else has, and everybody else had it in a day, right? Like, there's no, like, all those fundamentals and all those things are going away, and that creates that stress. But how do we build in rest? I've talked about in the last couple of episodes, I've had a sleep apnea specialist on, because I went and got a sleep study done, which changed, you know, I'm on a CPAP now, and it's changed my life. And an update on that for our listeners. I literally now sleep 7 hours a night restfully. And Mike, you haven't heard my story with that. That is a game changer for me. But I was waking up thinking I was going to have a heart attack. So yeah, men need to get a sleep study done. They need to get a colonoscopy. They need to build in rest. And I now work like essentially you know, 2 days on, 1 day off, 2 days on. Like I stack 4 days in the week of things that I need to get handled and build in rest. And you can do that today. So I just think that what you're talking about is so incredibly important in a time where technology can remove a lot of the heavy lifting so that we can do things that maybe we weren't able to do before.
Yeah. I mean, on the stress side, it's, I really try, first of all, is that I purposely remove myself of as much negativity as I can. I mean, I will go to a sales meeting and people are, you know, they're bitching and complaining about, oh, well, this deal fell through or this, you know what? There's a solution. I kid myself. My wife says I'm the solution guy because I try to take whatever negative or whatever and turn it into as much positive as I can. Have you tried this? Have you looked at making this phone call and saying this? I mean, anything that we can do to try to eliminate as much of the negativity as we can and try to stay focused on what is positive and what can take us a little bit further down the line. And the other thing is this, is that, I mean, I literally work out every day. I mean, 6 days a week, I am at the gym. I'm either pounding the treadmill or the elliptical. I'm lifting. I am playing. I'll go to D-bat and hit baseballs for 20, 30 minutes. I mean, these are the kind of things that take that part away from me where I'm not worried about business. I'm not worried about something else that might have happened that day. And if you don't have that kind of release, and the thing about it is you can just take a walk around the block.
Right.
You know, I remember when I was training, when I was the head trainer in Georgia, is that, you know, I would have somebody come up and say, you know, I'm really going to lose some weight this year. And I'd say, no, you're not. I said, you don't have a plan. I mean, just to tell me that I'm going to lose weight this year, that's not going to cut it. If you tell me every day I'm going to go home and I'm going to walk around the block, I'm going to go to the track and I'm going to run the straightaways and walk the curve. I've got a specific program or plan set up, you know, because what we've talked about and you've heard this saying for years, but none of us plan to fail.
Right.
We just fail to plan.
Yep.
And I think that's something in everybody's life that can be accomplished, that can be done. And I want to mention that I have two free gifts that I would love for people to check out. And that's MikeCoySpeaks.com/gift. MikeCoySpeaks.com/gift. I have two gifts. One is Mike's 10 tips to prevent cancer. And the other is I actually have chapter 8 that I quote in the free gift of the book I chose Live because it's a powerful chapter. But the more that we can go to be a preventive society, that we can help ourselves get in better shape and stay more sharp and focused is something that, I mean, it's natural to me because I don't remember a time that I wasn't running or lifting or throwing a baseball or trying to intercept a pass or, you know, or something out growing up. And I just feel like that, you know, with me, with the stress, I mean, I'd gone through the divorce. I got this huge job in Georgia, you know, and I decided that when I moved to Georgia, that every Sunday, rain, sleet, hail or snow, I needed to lose some weight. And I didn't need to lose 70 pounds like I did with the cancer, but I needed to lose some weight. Every Sunday, I went and climbed Kennesaw Mountain. And it just kicked my tail for about 2 months. But after a couple of months, I was able to get all the way to the top without stopping. And then I could run down. And one of the things that oncologist told me when I was going through my cancer treatments, he says, you're in phenomenal shape. He said, that's going to help you through this process. Now, my wife is a scheduler. She schedules chemo and radiation for patients with Texas Oncology. And she told me, she said, I don't think you realize how serious that cancer you had was, because you just went through it. But there again, John, it's about a choice. I wasn't going to fight the doctors. I wasn't going to fight the treatment. You say, this is what I need to do. That's what I did. There's no reason to cry and whine about it. It's what it is.
Yeah.
And I mean, even going to Atlanta where I was getting my treatment, I ended up living in an extended stay for 75 days while I was going through my treatment, because I couldn't drive 2.5 hours every day. And, and so something like cancer can be very inconvenient. It can be something that, wait a minute, this isn't what I want to do. However, you put yourself in a position to listen to the experts, trust their judgment. In my case, put my faith that I hope that God had more plans for me than dying of cancer. And my dad would say that God gives us a lot of gifts. And he was talking to me about my music when he was a layman disciple of Christ minister. I was 14 years old. I was playing the piano and leading the choir. And he said, you have a lot of gifts. He says, but what you do with those gifts is how you honor God. And so it's something that I've kept in my life for a long, long time. But I promise you that I remember I was at a men's senior baseball game. I was on third base. The third baseman, a friend of mine named Jimmy, he was a real good third baseman too. He said, Mike, my wife made me read your book. And he was 55 years old, 56 years old. And he said, and I went and got a colonoscopy that I'd put off for 4 or 5 years. They found 3 precancerous polyps that were removed. But they said, if I would have waited 2 more years, it'd have been full blown colon cancer. Wow. He said, you saved my life. I said, Jimmy, you saved your life. But that's the kind of thing that and John, you realize this as much as anybody, but anytime we're able to reach a congregation as such, anytime we're able to reach people, and whether it's a speaking gig or whatever, if I can just one person, if I can make a difference with them, then I've accomplished my goal.
Yeah, agreed. I want to, probably going to land the plane here, but I think, and you're such a testament to it, but I think what's killing people, obviously, and speaking specifically to men, is I think the messaging is just so off. I was a part of an organization that preached work, 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 work. There was always a trip to win. There was always a, what's your goal this month? And where are you? At the beginning of the month, it was what's your goals? And then at the end of the month is, did you hit your goals or not? And then, the next month was, what's your goal? Or why don't you beat the last 3 months combined? It was always this conversation of never enough. There's always more to achieve. And I think what I've learned personally, and thank goodness it didn't kill me physically, but it certainly caused a lot of issues that I'm still dealing with. But I think our goals are just off as a society, and certainly for men. Like I encourage people to write their eulogy, because what do you're not going to lay in your deathbed and go, I'm really glad I hit that sales quota, or the amount of money I have in the bank. I don't think those things really matter. I think really it's what kind of life did we live? What kind of person, were we? What was the character and of the individual that we created with our life? And if we start with that picture, you start to really realize the amount of nonsense that we spend our time on chasing, and the stress and all those things that come up, that we have these issues that you're talking about that are unnecessary. I think that there's always the goal, and then there's the what's the motivation. right, of the goal. Yeah. So if somebody goes, hey, I want to be a millionaire, and I'm the one asking why. If the quality of your life is not determined on how much money is in your bank account, and that is proven to be true, what's motivating you for that goal? And typically underneath that is some trauma that hasn't been dealt with. There's an identity crisis that's chasing something that actually doesn't lead to fulfillment. You know, and I just don't think we're fashioned that way by God to chase those things. And so I think the messaging is off, and it leads to all these issues that rise up in our life. And it shouldn't come down to, hey, I've got cancer or all these things that cause that are the result of, you know, poor thinking and poor approach and all that, when we can change those things. And I agree with you. If we have a platform that we can save a life, then we're obligated to do it. I love your story. I love your toughness, Mike. You are everything that I think Man Up Already, you know, relies on, or not relies on it, why I fashioned this the way I did. I was deeply affected by Shawshank Redemption. I remember reading the book, but in that case, I felt the movie was actually better than the short story that it was based on because of those actors and how that whole thing was written. Right. I also love the quote on that he's institutionalized. And if our listeners haven't seen that, you need to go check that, because it's also part of that programming. You don't even see the bars. You're so used to running life the way you're running it. You don't even see the prison that you've created in your own life.
Absolutely.
So I just love your story and who you are and what you're up to. And you know, there's always another day, right? Or we get to live another day when we show up in it, if that makes sense, right? Every day is a gift, right? When so many people, oh, I have to. No. You get to live today, and you don't have to go do anything. Everything is a choice, and make another choice, make something different. So I just appreciate you. I know I'm ranting a little bit, but
well, you know, one of the things I do whenever I do a speaking engagement, speaking gig, is that I always end my talks by saying that life is about choices, and I hope and pray that each and every one of you choose the same path that I chose. And that is, I chose live. And that's when I wrote the book, I Chose Live. And again, people can go to ichoselive.com. ichoselive.com, find out more about me than they probably want to know. But it is about choices. And if you can just something positive. And that's the reason why I wrote during COVID, I was sitting around looking at the walls, and I remember a short story that I had gotten from Chicken Soup of the Soul. And it was called A Simple Gesture by John Slattery. And I took that book, and that's when I wrote A Random Act of Kindness, just to try to remind us that there are things that we can do that can make a difference in somebody's life, and in some cases, save somebody's life. And so, you know, when you're out there, just realize that you are important. You can make a difference. And just like what my dad said, son, make a difference.
I love it. I'm not even going to expound on that. We're going to leave it right there. I just put up I Chose Live, and then you have Mike Coy Speaks as well. Multiple ways for people to find you on social media. How do they find you, Mike?
It's LinkedIn, and it's Michael L. Coy. But LinkedIn, and then I'm even on Facebook, but that's more of a personal side. But the other thing is that please get your free gifts. It's MikeCoySpeaks.com/gift. MikeCoySpeaks.com/gift. You get Mike's 10 tips, how to prevent cancer. And then I have chapter 8 of I Chose Live.
Let's put that up there for everyone. Awesome. Well, I appreciate you being on here, sharing your story, sharing your gifts. It's been an honor and a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Appreciate you very much. God bless you.
You too. Hey, thanks for listening to another episode of the Man Up Already podcast. We really do appreciate it. And I want to ask you to do a couple of things. Number one, subscribe to the podcast, whatever platform you're listening or viewing on. Subscribe to the podcast, right? Help us continue to grow by joining the community, and also rate the podcast, rate the episode, right? Whatever platform you're on, you could leave a rating. Let us know your comments. Let us know your thoughts. If you can do that, we really do want your feedback. You could head on over to manupalready.com and check out our website. All the podcast episodes are on there as well. But also join our community, sign up on our emailing list. We're going to get content out to you. There's also a free resource there for you when you do that. And pass it on. Pass on the podcast. Let people know, right, what we're up to, what we're about. Speak about it. If you're a podcast enthusiast, please share episodes. Tell people about what it is that we do. What we do here and what you like about it and what you don't like about it. And that's okay as well, right? It's just getting the word out. And then finally, I want to thank a great sponsor of our podcast, Master Beef Jerky. Their slogan is bold flavor, tender bite. If you head on over to masterbeefjerky.com, they've got incredible flavors there. But if you put in the coupon code MUAP, you will get 20% off your order. I highly recommend you check them out. Master Beef Jerky, bold flavor, tender bite, and a great, great sponsor of the podcast. Until next time, thanks so much for being here, and we'll talk to you soon.